It hasn't even been a whole day. The morning began with Mary Magdalene's announcement that the stone had been removed from the tomb. Peter and the other disciple run to the tomb and find it empty with only the grave clothes lying there. They don't fully understand what is going on and they return to their own homes. Mary Magdalene isn't ready to leave, and with tears in her eyes, she peers into the tomb. Her eyes are greeted by two angels with a question: "Why are you weeping?" Mary then has the famous exchange with the one who she presumes to be the gardener. But when Jesus calls her by name, she recognizes him. And the morning ends with Mary Magdalene telling the disciples what she has seen and heard. Like so many moments in Scripture, it's good to know the context in which our gospel is told. As a people gathered here, we are a week removed from the Easter celebration. The joy, the energy has subsided some, the crowds have gone home, and this Sunday is affectionately known across many church traditions as Low Sunday, as in Low Attendance Sunday. But for the disciples and for us, entering into this gospel, it's only evening on the first day of the week. It's the evening of the discovery of the empty tomb. It's the evening and the disciples are together behind locked doors out of fear of what might happen to them. It's into this room and into that fear that Jesus appears to them. Now, often in Scripture, when an angel appears, their first words are almost always, "Be not afraid." When Jesus appears to his disciples, he says, "Peace be with you." This phrase carries with it a lot of weight. It holds the angel's greeting of, "Do not be afraid." It holds the forgiveness that Jesus has for his disciples, especially Peter, who has denied him. It holds restoration to a community that will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It connects them to Jesus' own mission that was laid out early in the gospel by John. "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It also brings joy. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. The disciples have been on a roller coaster of emotions, but Jesus doesn't give them time to reflect on it all. Instead, he gives them their new task, their new calling. He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." As we know, Thomas isn't in the room when this first encounter happened. And their testimony isn't enough to get him to believe. He wants to see for himself, and he has to wait a whole week for this encounter to take place. Again, Jesus greets them with the words, "Peace be with you." He then gives Thomas the option of touching him to believe, but Thomas doesn't need to touch to believe. His eyes have given him all that he needs. These encounters with the risen Christ have their own sense of intimacy. Mary's told not to hold on to Jesus. The disciples and Thomas don't touch Jesus in their encounters with him either. Instead, it is Jesus who breathes on them, calls them by name, and gives them the Holy Spirit. This breath fills the air and fills the lungs of all who are in this space. Of all the things that the phrase, "Peace be with you," can do, maybe these words can also share the Holy Spirit with all who hear them. As I said on Maundy Thursday, much of the intimacy of our worship together has been removed for a time being because we are told to stay physically distanced. Many miss the hugs or the handshakes that are shared on a Sunday morning. I can see it at times in your faces during worship as you share the peace sign, which doesn't always feel fully like sharing the peace with those around you. And yet, that sign of peace still carries with it the reconciliation and healing and life that Jesus first shared with those words. I know that many of you long to gather again at the rail to receive Christ's body and blood, to feel the hand of another place the body of Christ in your hand. Instead, if you're like me, you fumble to open your individual communion kit, and you miss receiving this gift in a familiar way. And yet, Christ is present with us in this meal, even if it feels clumsy or unfamiliar. As awkward as any of this may feel for those gathered in this sanctuary, in this room, think back for a moment when you were watching from home, or for all of those who are watching at home now. Many have gotten used to watching the service on their TV or tablet or computer. But how do we convey the intimacy of worship across the digital divide? And yet, I believe that our congregation's walls extend to wherever you are watching or hearing from, and that because we are gathered together, Christ is present. I want to take us back to Jesus' own words and the power of the Holy Spirit. Those words, "Peace be with you," carry with them the promise of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Jesus breathed directly on his disciples, but I'm not about to limit the power of the Holy Spirit. I will never forget some of the most powerful words I ever heard in a sermon. Now, these words were directed at preachers, but I believe them to be true for all of us in our lives of faith. The preacher said, "Our job is to put the word in people's ears. It's the Holy Spirit's job to move it from the ears to the heart." Siblings in Christ, the Holy Spirit has been active, and the Holy Spirit has been present and working in each of you intimately. Each week as a congregation, we have been sharing the word through classes and worship and reflections and music and many other ways. The Holy Spirit has been taking that word and bringing it to the heart of so many. During this time, the Holy Spirit has been sustaining our congregation and has connected new people to Bethesda. Even though there are some that are watching from home that have never stepped foot in this sanctuary, they have been brought into this community through the power of the Holy Spirit. Over the course of this last year, there has been a lot of discussions about how the church should practice faith and worship while distanced. As good or as any argument was or is, the concern I have had is how most of these arguments try to limit the power of the Holy Spirit. As if the one who accompanied Jesus behind locked doors can't find a way into your home. And if the Spirit can't find your home, then how could the Spirit find your heart? When we hear these words, "Peace be with you," whether spoken by a pastor or another member of the church, we can recognize that they carry the Holy Spirit. We're simply placing these words in the ears, and the Holy Spirit is called to move them from the ears to the heart. This doesn't happen solely in this sanctuary. It happens wherever God's word is proclaimed. Let us not be a stumbling block to the Holy Spirit by limiting with our imagination the Spirit that moved freely over the creation. There simply is no locked door that can keep the Holy Spirit out. So even though we miss the familiar, even though a peace sign doesn't feel the same as a handshake or a hug, even though we may struggle with a cellophane lid over Christ's body and blood, Even though we may be separated by camera and screen, Christ is with us. God's word dwells among us. The Holy Spirit is active in the farthest places that this word reaches. So we keep proclaiming from our pews, our comfy chairs, our kitchen tables, or wherever this word is heard, peace be with you. And we pray that the Holy Spirit continues to move that word from your ears all the way to your heart. Amen.